This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
So Father, we thank you, we bless your name. Indeed, you are holy and you are mighty. And words are not enough to express who you are. But with the little breath that you have given, we just want to ascribe all praises, honor, and adoration unto your name. May your name be glorified and may your name be praised. Commit your word which is coming forth. And it's my prayer that may your word bring understanding and guidance into the hearts of every hearer. May the Holy Spirit move within our hearts and speak to us personally, even as we encounter you through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. A very warm afternoon to everyone. It's very sunny. And I know when it's sunny, people are very happy. Am I right to say so?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Today, the sermon title is "What is in your hands?" And basically, it's a call to service. And my primary text will be taken from Exodus chapter 4, verse 1 to 2, which reads, "Then Moses answered, 'But behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, the Lord did not appear to you.'" And verse 2 reads that the Lord said to him, "What is in your hand?" So, just a little bit of background why this particular topic. Last 2 weeks ago, I had my quiet time on 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. And I believe the Holy Spirit was speaking to my heart concerning the question which came to me then was, what do you have? And whilst I was breathing upon it, praying upon it, I came to the conclusion that the Lord wanted me to fully use what is blessed or gifted or endowed me with. And last week, thereabouts, there was I don't know how that is called. But basically, Shofar Church, together with other churches in Utrecht, come together. Then we worship, we pray. And this time around, there was evangelism as well. And the central message, if I got anything from that weekend, was basically that God has given a lot to each and every one of us. And we are supposed to step out and use it to his glory. So then it goes without saying that, well, the Spirit was one. Not only was the message for me personally, but also at large a message to the church in Utrecht, including Shofar. So it comes back and I would want to ask the question. This time around, just look at the person sitting next to you and ask the person, what is in your hand? And if you can be gracious to give an answer to the person who asked you the question, that would be very nice. I'll pick two answers. What is in your hand? Okay. Are we good to pick some responses? Anybody? What was the response when you asked the question, what is in your hand?
Nothing.
Oh, awesome. There's nothing in his hand. Amazing. I think I agree with you. There's nothing over here. Any other response apart from nothing?
Gifts.
I heard something from you.
Talents.
What?
Talents.
Celeste.
Talents.
Oh, sorry. Talents, gifts, nothing. That is beautiful. Yes, I can understand the question, what is in your hand? is so vague that the very first time when I received, "What do you have?" I practically said, "Nothing." But in deeper thoughts, to look at it metaphorically, then we can talk about talents, then we can talk about gifts. But if that question is asked you, the underlining thing which comes in mind is, what do you possess? And by extension, what is your purpose in life? And many times, I think we as human beings don't sit down well to reflect and ask that vital question, why am I here on earth? Because I cannot believe that my life is all about rising up on a Monday morning, picking the train, going to work, come back home, eat, sleep, have conversation with my wife, and that's it. I believe there is a greater purpose, there is a greater plan of God concerning our lives. So the goal of today's sermon in general is going to make us understand, as we as Christians, the potential impact we can make if we surrender what is in our hands to God. And in essence, to also encourage each and every individual not to undermine what God has given to you, or let the thought of what you think you don't have or your inadequacies prevent or distract you from doing God's work. So to deep dive into this, I'm going to take it in three main blocks on the level of impact. So we are going to talk about generational impact. We are going to talk about individual impact, and we're also going to talk about supporting impact. And all these three, I'm going to use different passages in scriptures to bring to light how an individual could make a generational impact or an individual impact or a supporting impact when he or she surrendered what they had into the hands of God. So the first one will be taken from Exodus chapter 4, verse 1 to 17. In Exodus chapter 1, verse 4 to 17, God had approached Moses and gave him a call and said, "I need you to go to Egypt and speak to Pharaoh that I want to deliver the Israelites from his cruel hands." Now, Moses was too much afraid. If you read the book of Exodus, you know that he came from Egypt. So going back, he moved out of Egypt under a not so good circumstance. So going back to Egypt was quite very tough for him. And the Lord was saying that, "This is my calling for you. Rise up and go." And in Exodus chapter 4, verse 1 to 2, the Bible reads that, "Then Moses answered, 'Behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, the Lord did not appear to you.' The Lord said to him, 'What is in your hand?' And he said, 'A staff.'" What is in your hand? And Moses could only think of a staff. A staff, in explanation, basically, it was a shepherd, and that was what was used to direct the sheep. And I can imagine why he was so much afraid to move out, because a staff is not sufficient enough to bring deliverance to people. And we are not talking about just going to capture a group of people and move them from their oppressors, but we're also talking at length about a spiritual deliverance, because a promise had been made to Abraham. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 13, we get to realize that according to the promise which was made, the people of Israel were going to be under bondage and affliction for 400 years. And if there was anybody to stand in to bring deliverance, then this person must have been a very huge person. Because I cannot imagine if somebody is going through a situation for 400 years and you appear and you say, "I want to deliver you." So I can understand Moses' standpoint of view. The deliverance from the hands of Pharaoh is very definitive. Of the salvation event, which was number one, going to establish the identity of Israel, and number two, present God to them and to the people there as the God who saves. So it was very critical. But I just want you to realize that at the heart of this huge salvation, which was supposed to come to a group of people, was number one, a call to a man, and the response of the call of the man mattered the most. To Moses, it was just a staff. But to God, it was that instrument which was going to part the Red Sea. It was that instrument which was going to perform 10 plagues. It was that instrument which was going to bring water out of the rock. And it was that instrument which was going to be raised over battle until Israel won. And so God saw something bigger than Moses did. And again, if you are thinking of what you think you have, the main message is very simple. No matter how meager it is, or no matter how demeaning you think it is, when it's placed in the hands of God, it can do a lot of things. And the reason why Moses is an example for a generational impact is that through the act of Moses, our salvation, which both you and I are enjoying, actually started. It took a man to take that bold step to surrender what he had to God for us to receive this generational blessing, which up to date, the name of God and the name of Christ has been mentioned. So maybe it could be you. We've had people in practical life who have devoted or who devoted themselves to make that generational impact. You can talk about top evangelists like Billy Graham, Rayard Bonke, and what have you. And also you can talk about Derkian and Renee. And if somebody may be asking, did you say Derkian and Renee? Yes. Why? Because they responded to a call of God to move from South Africa to come to the Netherlands to establish a church. Now, take a very good look at the outlook of the church. They are different nations, different tribes, different people. If that is not a generational impact, then I wonder what it is. Gaspar is going to Ghana because he feels he's been called to bring the gospel and also lead missionary work in the place. It could be an act which is going to bring a generational impact, because many lives are going to change, and out of the change of their lives, families are going to be blessed, and the chain continues. If there is anything I will say that you and I can also be in the position of bringing that generational impact. The whole idea is that we submit to God and present what we have to God and see how gracious He will be with what we have. It is interesting to know in the Bible that in Exodus chapter 4 verse 20 and also 17 verse 9, the Bible referred to that staff which Moses had as the staff of God. It reads, so Moses took his wife and his sons and had them ride on a donkey and went back to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the staff of God in his hand. In Exodus 17, 9, that was the staff which was lifted for victory to come to the Israelites. And the description of that staff was that he said he raised the staff of God. So we see the transformation, a staff which was used to tender sheep transforms and becomes a staff which God is using for his mighty works and miracles. So I would encourage each and every one of us that we should be open for a higher call and a higher service. It is possible for the evangelists who God used to make great impact in the world. Many of them started like just being in crusades, and coincidentally, they gave their life to Christ, and afterwards God used them for his mighty works. So you could create, or you could, God could use you to make a generational impact if you will let go what is in your hands unto him. The other level I want to talk about is the individual impact. And with this individual impact, I will pick it from 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. And it reads, "Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophet cried to Elisha, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. But a creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves.' And Elisha said to her, 'What shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in your house?'" Again, the question comes, "What do you have?" And she said, "Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels and not too few. Then go in and shut the door behind yourself and your sons and pour into all these vessels. And when one is full, set it aside." So she went from him and shut the door behind herself and her sons. And as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another." Then the oil stopped flowing. She came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on the rest." When we read the scripture, the focus more is on the widow and how she presented what was in her hands and how the Lord blessed it to the point that she was able to pay her debt. But when you read the scripture from the beginning, there was something which was said, which makes us trace the beginnings of this widow. And what is that which was said? The scripture mentions that the wife was a wife of one of the sons of the prophet. And he jumps, not only was he a prophet, he said, "For you know," and the widow is telling Elisha, "For you know that he was your servant and he feared the Lord." So a prophet responded to the call of God. And out of the response of his call to God, even when he had departed from earth, the blessings of God had located his family. Creditors were coming after her, and she needed to pay a debt. And what she brought, we saw how big the Lord made it and made it a blessing. So, contrary to the mindset which we have that whenever the Lord calls us to service, it's more like we giving out and there is no fun moment, we are not going to enjoy and all that. That is not really true. Anybody who has truly responded to the call of God will tell you there is a blessing in it. A blessing in for the person who has responded to the call. And many of us are going to see our families even being trained and being nurtured in the way of the Lord because we responded to the call of God. And so, responding to the call of God is not just giving yourself out for people, but also for you, it helps. So when I was reading this scripture, there was a word of knowledge which came. And this word of knowledge was actually also in one direction or one breath confirmed when we were having the intercession. And it's got to do with a lady present in this service, as I received, who is entangled in a relationship which is filled with physical and emotional abuse. I wrote it verbatim, so I'm reading. It says that you have the fear of God, but your boyfriend doesn't have the fear of God. And this is taking a strain in your relationship with God. It is not easy to move out due to some financial bindings. But the Lord wants you to trust him and step out. I can't sugarcoat it in any way. It's simple. The Lord wants you to trust him and move out of the relationship. Because out of your trust to him, he's going to lead you and you're going to fulfill your call. The reason why you're supposed to move out, I wrote something here. It says that for the boyfriend is like the creditor in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7, who is taking everything which is precious away from you. Your relationship with God, your family, and at length, your calling. And it was surprising, whilst we were having an intercessory prayer, I think Renee received something about positioning, and she kept on saying, I feel there is someone in a particular position that the person needs to move, and the person needs to reposition. So I shared with the team what the Lord laid upon my heart. And it's my prayer that if you believe and if you feel it is you, this is not a moment of condemnation, but the Lord really wants to bring liberation. Please find time and talk to Renee after service or any time which you have. But basically, out of your response of what you have, the Lord could bring liberation to yourself and to your family, your immediate family. The last impact I'm going to talk about, it looks like today's sermon is going to be very short, is the supporting impact. And I'm taking that from John chapter 6, verse 1 to 12. In verse 5, the Bible says that lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" And he said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. So the statement that people needed to eat was suggestive of the fact that the crowd, were hungry and they needed food. And Jesus is asking the simple question to one of the disciples, "Where can we find food?" Inasmuch as this is very literal when it comes to food and being hungry, by extension into the spiritual world, this is the fact we face, most especially also in the Netherlands or in Utrecht. People are hungry. People are hungry and people want to be fed. And you cannot feed them with croissant. You cannot feed them with fries, potatoes, and mayonnaise. They want to be fed with the word of God. And it's so amazing what is happening is that the people are hungry, but you have atheists and skeptics trying to convince them that, no, you are not angry at all. There is nothing like God. But deep down within the hearts of these individuals, they're hungry. The people are hungry, but empty religionists or religious people are offering them some sort of ceremony and empty words which are not satisfying. So they come to church and it's all about, "Oh, God loves you. Everything you do is okay. He loves you." And the person goes back home. "Yes, God loves me, but I really do not feel the impact of God's love in my life." Or they tell you, "You need to do this, you need to do that before you qualify to be a Christian." And you realize that you are struggling through establishing your position as a Christian because there are lots of rules laid down. And the people are hungry, but then when they go, the only people they meet are these religious people who are so tight on rules and regulations and not speak to the heart of them. The last but not the least, the people are hungry. And we have what I would call religious showmen who would go to every point to create an ambience create a video, create light, and create good sound. And in doing so, we think that the people are going to be satisfied and the people are going to be close to God. But I tell you what, it does nothing to the soul or to the spirit, let me put it that way, because your soul will respond to it, but to the spirit of any individual. And if there is a word of wisdom I want to release, I want to speak to small group leaders, and I want to say that our gatherings should have the center of Christ, the word of God, the power of his presence should be felt, because in it we see transformation in the life of every individual. I have been in groups who swayed people to just talk about social issues and about what achievements you made in life and how you passed one difficult course and how you got a promotion at work and this and that and that, talking about themselves, leaving the reason for their gathering to the back door. And if we want to be in a position where we are going to see God work and impact the lives of people, then small group leaders need to have this in mind. We gather in no other name but the name which is above every other name, the name Jesus. And the centrality of the word of God should be mentioned at least in our small group meetings. To the worship team members, the word of wisdom is that we should prepare ourselves. From the person who is the lead singer, to the person, sorry to say, who is maybe, I look at the instruments, they're playing the clarinet. Each and every individual need to spend time with God and prepare. Because out of what you have, if you present it unto God, you'll be amazed at deliverance which is going to go on when you start worshiping. You'll be amazed with the healing power of God which will move around the place when you start worshiping. Let us not reduce our worship to just plain skills, because it has no impact. Then it's better we maybe join a rock band playing somewhere, because then, but when we are playing in the house of God, the center of Christ comes in play. And so this is the word of wisdom, that we should prepare our hearts every single day and spend time with God before we render our worship. So I move on to the verse 7, which says that Philip answered him and said, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. So basically what Philip was saying was that what we have is not sufficient to cover the hunger of the people. Now, 200 denarii is equivalent to, I think the historical books are torn between 6 months and 8 months worth of salary. So practically, the minimum wage in the Netherlands is 1,006. 1,006 multiplied by 6 or 8 is between 10K or 10,000 and 13,000. So imagine buying bread worth 10,000 euros. And still, it wasn't going to be enough for the people. There's a spiritual truth over here that we in our physical self can never satisfy those who are hungry, unless we submit what we have into the hands of God. So what happened? The good thing was that another disciple by name Andrew, which is Peter's brother, said that, no, wait a minute, there is a boy. There is a boy somewhere who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. But he also said, but what are they for so many people? And that's something you see in ministry. I can tell you for a fact that the person behind the sound plays a critical role in getting the word of God to each and every individual. And for you, you may think that maybe just doing sound or maybe just doing coffee is not much. And you think that, no, I don't think I'm giving God something which is worth. But when you look at the grand scheme of things, Jesus needed that 5 loaves of bread and those 2 fishes in order to reach out to 20,000 plus people. It wasn't 5,000, 5,000 men, but women and children were not mentioned. And if you read the historical records, they've come close to 20,000 people who were present. So each and every call which you receive in your life to do is very important, that you know that in it God is able to do much with it. And it's interesting that the salvation, because he was preaching to these people, they were hungry, but the message needed to go on. So it was so interesting that the salvation of this 20,000 people was tied to food to sustain them, and this food was provided by a little boy. The Bible uses that it was barley loaves, which goes a long way to mean that the boy was actually from a poor family, because the rich people of those days, they rather would take wheat bread instead of the barley. So what he had was insignificant. Then again, to underscore the point, it was insignificant, but that is what God used to bless and to change the lives of many people. So 5 loaves and 2 fishes in the hands of God can feed 5,000 and more people. What the little boy was doing was that the little boy was playing a supporting role to the ministry of Jesus. And the good news is that many of us herein gathered are called to also play a supporting role to great ministries that God calls people to be. Could be the calling upon Derkian and Renee, and we in one way or the other are serving in one capacity. We have people on regular basis who are serving on sound, streaming, projection, making coffee, set up small group leadership, worship, teaching, kiddies, church, announcement, offering message, giving also your tithes and offerings. And the list goes on and on. But do not underrate what you do, because out of the 5 loaves you bring, we see many being fed. So again, once I was praying through this part of the scripture, I actually got a dream, and this is more of a prophecy to the church. I actually got a dream, and in the dream, the church, specifically Shofar Utrecht, was filled. And I should confess, I am one of the people who believe that it's a transitional church, and so we don't really need a lot of people. I believed then that people do come, we impact, they go, and they also go to impact their various places. But I was shocked what I saw in the dream. The whole place was filled. And I went upstairs, and when I went upstairs, it was filled with children. I was like, what is happening? But the reason why I was able to tell it was Shofar was that I saw Marco in the dream. And I saw Albanos and Stefan. So I could establish that this was Shofar. So in the morning, I woke up and I was praying through the dream for an interpretation. And these were the exact statements I received. It said, 7 years of faithfulness has begotten years of multiplication. So be ready. And as a church, we need to be ready with our service, with what is in our hand that we are going to bring in order for us to see this multiplication. It's my prayer that the Lord also grants the leadership the wisdom to prepare for the years to come. But I also advise that let's pray about it and let's receive also confirmation from God. So in effect, my sermon has come to an end. It's a very simple sermon. What is in your hand again? The question comes. And if we talk about what is in your hand, It's just a question of the principle regarding how God calls people and how he uses them. And I want to advise that, number one, for those who feel you don't have what it takes, please be encouraged that the little you have, God is able to use it massively for his kingdom. For those who are also talented and have a lot, God wants to use all that you have. The only thing we need to be careful about is to determine when to use what that he has given. Because it's so fascinating that the same Jesus who was presented a stone to turn into bread refused to do it. But when he got the opportunity, he was able to do the miracle of changing 5 loaves of bread to feed 5,000 plus people. So it was within his capacity to do both. But the timing and whether it was the will of God is very important. So God wants to use us. God wants to use what is in our hand. He's used many people in the past. Talk about Shamgar in the book of Judges. He used an instrument in his hand to defeat over 600 Philistines. Talk about the jawbone of a donkey in the hands of Samson. He's able to slay many Philistines. And what is also very interesting is that a slingshot in the hand of David was able to bring down a mighty Goliath for the name of the Lord to be praised and to be worshipped all over. So I am confident that the Lord is going to use us extraordinarily, as Banish preached last week, as instruments in his hands. And this is the confidence that I have, because in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, it says that his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. So God is doing an amazing thing, and all that he's asking is for you to present what is in your hands. Shall we share a word of prayer? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word which has come to us. We want to commit our lives to you, O Lord. Many of us may have fears, and we are not confident of what you have given. But Lord, we want to pray and present what we have in our hands to you and ask that may you help us and may you use us for your glory. We want to pray that let every fear be taken away. We pray for your wisdom. We pray for your guidance. We pray that may you lead us to be in the right position at the right time, as you use us to glorify your name. In Jesus' name have I prayed with thanksgiving. Amen. So before I hand over to the band, I have 2 missions. The first mission is to give an opportunity for any individual here or online to give his or her life to Christ. What is in your hands is not adequate, because if I ask you what is in your hands and I want to use it, in effect, what I'm asking for is that I want you. And so, if you are here, you've heard the message, you feel, oh, God can use something in my hands, but I don't have a relationship with this God. I want to give you the opportunity and to pray this prayer that, Lord Jesus, I come before you and I surrender everything. I believe that Jesus Christ came to die on the cross for my sins. And I ask for your forgiveness. And I ask that may you wash me and cleanse me and accept me in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. The second select group will be people specifically who feel so strongly that the Lord is calling them, but there is a struggle. Whilst the band plays, I think Renee will be there for the women, Derkian. Okay, so maybe Albanos will be there also for the men, or myself. Yeah, myself will be there for the men. Please feel free to approach. It's joining in faith together with you to pray. If you feel the Lord is calling you to do anything, in his kingdom. We pray together and we see the hand of God in it. Thank you and have a good evening.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.